Galatians. I've been working on it for several weeks, so the opportunity to do this was not as random as it seemed. It was like, So I'm very grateful. And I was very excited that when I picked up your homework folder, it was the power of the gospel. Because if I were, as doctors specialize in different things, if I had to pick a specialty to teach out of scripture, it would be the gospel. And so I'm very excited, which also poses a challenge, because I want to tell you just how excited I am on every single point. We are entering into chapter 5 of Galatians, and we want to take the step up to chapter 5. Chapter 1, we see the gospel, the power of the gospel revealed, reveals the power of God unto salvation. This is the gospel that Paul treasured, and this is the gospel that Paul guarded. In this particular book, of course, we're watching Paul stepping up against the attempted attack of false doctrine through the Judaizers. Chapter 2, this gospel is the good news that this treasure is not only Paul's, it is the treasure of all humanity, and it is to be guarded by us, the believers, but not only guarded, but shared. And that kind of brought me to a dead stop, because my thought immediately was, yes, a treasure, guarded, yes. To me, that meant hidden, deep vaults, get it out of anybody's awareness or sight, and that's exactly the opposite of what this means. So my question, and how do we, yes, we acknowledge it as a treasure, and it is our responsibility to guard it, but then we also are told that this is a gospel and a treasure to be shared. So it sounded like a conflict of interest for me. And so chapter 3 lets us know, how can I go there? How can I do that? It's through the power of the Holy Spirit only. The power of the Holy Spirit is also the good news of this treasured gospel. And in chapter 3, we are told, not only is the Holy Spirit the one who can empower us to start strong, but finish strong. The question asked, having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be perfected through the flesh? Through the flesh. So chapter 4, the power of the gospel establishes us as the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Faith alone in Christ alone. Because what were the Judaizers trying to do? They were adding the Jesus plus factor. That is that whole reference to the law. That oh, by the way, yes, Jesus, yes, the cross. And so chapter 4 makes its claim. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty and the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have been set free. Stand in that freedom. Stand in that liberty. Okay, here we go to chapter 5, 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And you know what? Paul knew what the entanglement of the yoke of legalism was. And you know what is so amazing? And I mentioned that as Gentiles, which I'm sure the vast majority of us are, as Gentiles, we tend to look at the law as the Ten Commandments. The law, I'm sure, has been stated earlier in your many teachings. The law was over 600 laws, over 600. And because they approached the law as what they must do to achieve their standing of righteousness before God, imagine the weight. Imagine this was a yoke of bondage, your performance. And so basically, as we're now entering into chapter 5, what we want to see is that rather than getting into the minutiae of the law and why it was an entanglement and how much of a yoke it is, just look at the law in these things as their to-do list. It wasn't God's to-do list to them. here, do this and then you'll be righteous. The law was never intended to do that. The law was intended to display God's righteousness. And the call was step in to these things because your God is a righteous God. So before we move through, the reality is the call is in our life. Maybe not the law in its entanglements, but our to-do lists. What must I do to achieve pleasing God? What must I do to achieve feeling good about my Christianity? There is nothing that can be added to the cross of Christ. And this is what he goes on to say. Let's pick up in 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. As verse 1 said, there is no Jesus plus your to-do list or my to-do list. Verse 2 says, there is only, not only is there not my to-do list, Jesus plus, no. There's also only either or. It's only Jesus Christ or the law. It must be severed, and it will be severed. Jesus Christ will share the podium with no one. Because, you know what, we don't need anything or anyone besides Jesus Christ. Verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. The law is do it all perfectly. There's a bondage. There's the entanglement. And when we get out our to-do list, guess what we do? We become in bondage and entanglement to what we think we should do in order to please God. Hebrews 11:6 states very clearly, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. Just a quick comment. So a point has been made, but the reiteration is this is not if you turn to the law, if you turn to your to-do list, now God's going to hate you and throw you out of grace. No, it's either or. If you turn to your family traditions, your culture, your custom, your habits, your rituals, no matter what they are, then you have set aside God's grace. If this is what you're trusting in, God's grace is of no benefit to you. It's either or. That's what the cross was about, to put to death the entanglement of thinking you can achieve your righteousness or maintain it. Verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We, through the Holy Spirit, this is our keeping reality, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because listen to what this says. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We're not going to be doers of our own righteousness. We are going to wait. We're going to demonstrate our confident expectation, which is the definition of hope, of the righteousness that is granted to us by faith. Do you know what this told me just today? We're waiting for our righteousness. We can take our eyes off ourselves to say, you know what, I'm just not righteous enough. I'm just not worthy. Yeah, he gets that. But he has committed, he is in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, because he has promised the fullness of the resurrection, which is the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. I will wait in confident expectation because Jesus said he would grant me his righteousness, that I, when I step into the presence of God, I will step in his righteousness. What can your to-do list, ladies, what can your to-do list add to that? Verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything or uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. To believe God is to love God. To love God is to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to be filled overflowing with love for all those unlovely people in our lives, for the unknown people, the ones that we don't have a connect with. You did run well, verse 7. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? I believe that this is the cry of a broken heart. We know Paul laid down his life for the gospel. We know it. And that is the living proof for us that he did, in fact, treasure that gospel. He did, in fact, guard that gospel. Is he not standing even in this word? Did he not stand? And guess what? Is he not today still standing? That's how powerful a stand for the truth is. You think your words are echoing off into nowhere, doing nothing? We're still hearing the same word. The same word. Can we not be bearers of that good news and trust the Holy Spirit to carry that word on for us? Let me reread that. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? The truth is for obeying, not just singing about or getting a tattoo about or wearing a t-shirt that declares the truth. It's for obedience and the truth that we have been called to submit to and obey is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Faith. Saved by faith. On with 8. This persuasion or belief came not of him who called you. And that references to Jesus who called you unto his glory. Not Paul who's calling you. But in the same sense, it is a reiteration that Paul was called of Jesus Christ. These Judaizers, they were not called. They have no testimony and verification that they have received. They're there of their own standing to do their own influence, to regain their own power base in this new religion. Except faith is not a religion. It breaks the chains from religion. Verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This is an important, succinct comment. Paul is standing against an immense enemy. And it's coming into the body as an invisible, unseen. Because words are not seen. It's just spoken and planting seeds. Just like the yeast in bread, there's your natural to see into the spiritual. What does yeast do? What does leaven do? Leaven is equated to sin, and the way it affects us is equated to just like leaven in baked bread or yeast in bread. It expands. You see not know. You do not know how. It permeates. It's doing things internally that you are not watching something happen externally. So the reality is a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. When you look at your Christianity and your walk, and you think, well, my to-do list is fine. My to-do list, this is what I do to make myself feel better about my Christianity. Remember, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We are being called, wait a minute, to say, this is what I do to make myself feel better. When I've done my checklist for that day, I feel better about showing up for church. When I've done all my homework, then I feel good. But when we look at that from the eternal perspective, guess what it's saying? This is what I've done to make myself feel better. This is my to-do list. Thank you. I now feel better. Means it's not that your to-do list added anything to your walk. What it means is you're declaring a deficiency in Christ alone. His life, not enough. His death, his burial, his resurrection, But you know, for me, that's an unseen reality, and it's permeating our walk in ways that we cannot know. And so we want to go before the Lord and say, Lord, show me. Show me where I am in this. Yes, it's good to think about it and to ponder it, but ultimately surrender it in God to prayer and say, Lord, you show me my to-do list. Maybe I'm so entrenched in my own to-do list, I'm totally blind to it. And the good news is that it is God's goodness that calls us to repentance, not his wrath. He wants to lighten our load, not increase it. And you know what? We want to know what it is to walk by faith. And we have a good role model. Paul walked by faith. And guess what that meant? Living fruit. Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be like-minded with what it is that Paul has laid out. And that he that troubles you shall bear his judgment. He's not even going to focus on those guys, whoever they be. And I, brethren, he brings it back to himself. He brings it back to himself because the anointing was on him. The validation of his ministry was on him. He's not going to give any glory to these Judaizers or make them the center of attention. But he says, and I, brethren, if I preached circumcision, he was being accused of giving the Judaizers his blessings in the sense of, oh, yeah, Paul's all into this. He's all behind this. And so Paul says, if I were pro-circumcision, pro the law, getting back, holding hands, Jesus, and if that were truly what I was supporting, why am I still being persecuted? Why hasn't the offense of the cross ceased if, in fact, it's all good? And don't we live right here and right now with it's all good? Aren't we waiting for a lightening of feeling, having everybody embrace this great news that we have? And any offense that comes against us, it must be because I'm not sharing the gospel correctly, because I wouldn't be hurt or an outcast. The cross is the offense. The cross is the offense. And you know what? It was an offense to me before I was saved. I officially, completely, and committedly hated God before he came in after me. Verse 12, I would even that they would be cut off for that trouble you, cut off their influence. Of course, there's other applications in the flesh that's referring to. Very interesting. Verse 13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love. Huge, huge in our lives. But girls, right here and right now, you have been called unto liberty. Jesus Christ sets you free. Only do not use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. This issue that we're walking in the outpoured days that we're in the midst of, the deal is, how many times do you hear, hey, it's all right if I'm sleeping around. It's all right if I'm doing my drugs. It's all good because I'm under grace. I'm saved by grace, not by works. Obedience is now the equivalent of a get out of responsibility free card. And it's not to be in our, it's not to be in us. It's not to be. The reality of the power of the gospel is that Jesus Christ, having set us free, we now have the freedom to choose, and we are to choose. The call of the Holy Spirit indwelling us is choose righteousness. You have the choice to choose. If you think you can use God's grace to give you a pass into sin, you know it isn't true. You know why? Because you are going to reap what you sow. If the reaping and sowing cycle no longer enlisted for believers, then there would be maybe grounds to consider that. No. Stand in the liberty you've been given. Choose righteousness. You're finally free to choose. Choose righteousness. Romans 1:5 says, for grace has been given for obedience to the faith. Walk around with that one a few times. He will empower. Will, everybody says, I don't have enough willpower. I just don't have enough willpower. Guess what? Will, the definition, choice is the expression of the will. All your will does is choose which power source it's going to turn to. It's not asking, it's not impacted with power in and of itself, your willpower, but it does have the position of freedom to choose. Will you choose to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Or will you choose to hand yourself over to the insatiable fallen appetites of the flesh? 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And how do you walk in the Spirit? You choose, not my will, Lord, but thine. That is the biggest demarcation between, that's what cuts off the influence of any satanic involvement. Not my will, but thine. Isaiah 14 has a very good depiction. Can't go into it, but there's the five I will statements of Satan. I will, I will, I will be exalted. His desire is to recreate us in his own image and likeness by prompting us through the flesh to demand our will. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? Not my will, Lord, not my will, but thine. And sometimes we say those words in tears, don't we? We have to say that through a broken heart, through a muddy mind. Nevertheless, there's the choice. Thy will be done. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do what you would do. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. The to-do list has been crucified with Christ in our lives. No longer are we wake up under the bondage, the concrete weight of our own demands on ourselves. You are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, this is verse 19, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. The list goes on. And the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'll ask the question now, as I have last night and every time. Does anybody have any questions about that? Was that clear enough for you? That's a plain thing and a main thing. Let's remember that. Because we have good news, the treasured gospel that we have been entrusted with, that we must share. And if you think you can leave sin out of the gospel, then what that means is you have to take Jesus Christ out too. And believe me, I've heard people do both and call it the gospel. The reason why I wanted you to pay and note the list of the sins, 19, 20, and 21, that is the dead works of the fruit. That's how the flesh. The flesh manifests its deadness in these deadening works. But how many times have each of us heard, oh, that's the enemy. Oh, so-and-so's involved in adultery. Oh, that's the enemy. We're binding him. It's time, ladies. There is a call in our life. We have been free to choose, and we absolutely must choose. Lord, you show me where I'm indulging my flesh, and I'm just so used to it, I don't even identify it as the flesh anymore. Because I have a get-out-of-flesh responsibility free now, don't I? No, no. Burden, oppression, depression, physical fatigue. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, show me. So that he can beat you up? No, you're not under. So that he can forgive you of your sins. If you'll come to God, the definition of salvation is turning toward God in repentance and Jesus Christ in faith. Any of these sins, any of the things that the Lord shows you, the reality for not only salvation but sanctification, the outliving of these truths, is when you are aware of a sin in your life, The call is repentance toward God, Father, forgive me, and belief in Jesus Christ. And the reason why that's so important is because you're dealing in the flesh zone now. And what do we normally do is, yes, I see it, I know it, I'm such a creep and a rat and a punk. Oh God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And then we turn, but I'm such a creep, I know I'm a loser, I. Repentance toward God, and then I spend all kind of time beating myself up, reminding myself, pulverizing myself, and I never really actually turn back to faith in Jesus Christ. The reality of a call to repentance is repentance toward God. Yes, you've sinned against the God whose desire is to show it to you so you can bring it to him so he can cleanse you. And belief in Jesus Christ. You do not get to park on the yeah, but I, but you, but hey, but they, but she, but we, but stuff. That's called reckon yourself dead to sin. And last night when I was standing here, that's the first little blink I got into that is, wow, that's exactly what this is. It's repentance toward God and, oh, nope, stay down, flesh, you are dead. Belief toward Jesus and Jesus Christ. I believe that you paid for that sin, that your blood cleansed me from that sin, and that you confirmed it to me by indwelling me with your Holy Spirit. How clean is the soul that Jesus, that the Holy, your new creature, your new person in Christ, can be inhabited by his own Holy Spirit? It is finished. In conclusion, verses 22 to the end, but the fruit of the Spirit. A dead tree cannot bring forth fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit that gives forth life-giving fruit, that imparts life to not just you, but to the others around you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Don't forget, self-control. Oh God, this is where I want to see you. Show me. Against which there is no such law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And there's two applications of that if. Last night I had mentioned that word is since we. And that is appropriate. Since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. But if it's a question in your life, if we live in the Spirit, Lord, am I in fact living in the Spirit? Because that is the reality of, are you in fact born again? Those things have to be established. That's why you have leadership here. If you have any questions you need to ask, ask them. Let us also walk in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit because we have the freedom to choose. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, which is pride, provoking one another, envying one another. Lord God, we worship you as the giver of every good and perfect gift. And truly, Lord, it does not get any better than the truth that sets us free. And so I thank you, Holy Spirit, that little slogan that I got from Laura that said, teachers who love to teach produce students who love to learn. And I just am so blessed because, precious Holy Spirit, you love to teach. You love to teach. And I know it personally, Lord, because I love to learn. And so if it's true of me, it's true of every one of these women. May they come to know you, Lord, as the Savior, the King, their God, the one who has emancipated them. Let freedom to worship you bring with it every form of influence over the lost, the hurting, the dying, the angry, the rebellious. I thank you, Lord. remember, let your word to these women be, if I can save you, I can save anybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.